Good morning. Welcome to Center this morning. It's good to see a nice group today. All right, let's start our worship by turning to hymn number 550, Come We That Love the Lord. Are so blessed. We thank you so much for this day, for this beautiful day, this beautiful time of the year, this last day of summer. We thank you, Lord, for friends, for family, for all the love that we share. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together and worship today. We're here to worship you. May we feel your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy.
Hope everyone's doing well this morning. It is good to see some bright and shiny faces this morning. If this is your first time or it's been a while since you've been at Center, we'd ask you to fill out a card there in the pew and give us your email address or your phone number. We'd love to keep you up to date with what's going on with newsletters and different announcements and keep you in the loop. So if you would, fill that out and place that in the offering plate when they come by. We do have a few announcements this morning. Are there any in the bulletin that anyone wants to highlight?
Tommy, there will not be a Quaker Men dinner and business meeting tomorrow evening. There will not be. We're concentrating our efforts on the following Monday, going over to Concord for the fall Quaker Men North Carolina banquet. September 30th, the van will be leaving here at 5:30. We have the attendance banner in our possession. We intend to keep it, which means you got to show up here at 5:30, and we got to fill up a 15-passenger van and go over to Concord and maintain our attendance banner. There's also a meal involved. We'll leave here at 5:30. The meal is at 6. I'll have you home by 8:15 at the latest, unless we stop at Frank and Larry's if they're up.
Whoever said Quakers weren't competitive, right?
That's right.
Any other announcements we need to highlight on in the bulletin? Because I have a few to add to.
Everybody please go ahead and mark your calendars. I know October gets really busy, but on October 13th, Christian Ed Committee is sponsoring a group trip to Lazy Five. This is not just for kids. This is for anybody who wants to go. It's only $10 if we have a group of 15 or more. We'll get more details out, but go ahead and mark your calendar because it is open to everybody, and we hope to have a wagon and just have a lot of fun and fellowship together.
I also remind you that next Sunday is Youth Sunday. Pack the house. Invite a friend to see what our youth are doing. They'll be taking the service from beginning to end, and they'll be leading us in worship. They'll be sharing some stories and some personal accounts of things that they've experienced with God and with the Holy Spirit in their life. So invite a friend, invite a neighbor, pick up somebody. It doesn't have to know you. Just grab them, tell them to come to church and support our youth. They've got a lot planned. They've got activities planned, and the strength of that group is very powerful. Very powerful. We need to invest in our young people so we can continue for another almost 300 years here on the hill. I will also let you know that ministry and council, elders, there's a meeting after worship briefly in the Hackney Vereen Room, courtesy of the clerk, Allen. So you can meet in the Hackney Vereen Room briefly right after worship. Any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? May we pray over our blessing. Father God, what an awesome day you've given us. You've planted the sunshine in our hearts. You planted the sunshine in our lives. And you planted the sunshine in our skies. Lord, we are so blessed, as Julie said earlier, we are just so blessed to stand in your presence that you allow us the freedom to worship, the freedom to love, the freedom to forgive, the freedom in all that we do. Lord, we recognize you are our creator, you are our artist, you are our master, you are our Lord, and you touch us in so many ways. Lord, as we give part of our earnings to you, I ask that you place your hand of blessing on them, cover it with grace, and give us guidance that we can use those resources, we can use those givings, we can use those sacrifices to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, because it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen.
doing? You having a good morning? I am glad there's several of you here today. That is great. Well, school has started. Y'all happy about that?
Yeah.
You folks see your friends. Are you learning some new things? I've seen some homework in the last week or two, so I know somebody's learning some new things. How about that? What kind of things are you learning? How about your letters? Maybe words? Colors? Numbers? What kind of things? Yeah. Is it easy? Is the stuff you're doing? No, it's not easy. It's hard. Is it easy to you? You're just too smart. Things don't come easy to me either.
How do you get better at them?
Oh, huh? It's two pieces. This way.
No.
Okay. I guess it's like this, huh? Is that the way? Yes. Okay. So everybody knows how to use a hammer. Well, everybody that wants to can get a chance to, right this minute, we're going to go by from the youngest to the oldest. So I hope you know how old y'all are. Okay? Now there's a bunch of you, so how about we do three licks apiece? Pick them all out and just wail away. Let's see.
Thank you.
But it was nice to see everybody cheer. When somebody missed a nail or whatever, you encourage somebody. Always encourage people. Because sometimes they can't learn as fast as you can. They're not like what they're doing as much as you do, but you can help them. And that's what we do. We cheer and encourage each other on. Okay. All right. So everybody, let's sing our prayer. Dear God, thank you for all these children during the day. Thank you for always giving us opportunities to learn new things at any age. Help us to use the things we learn to accomplish the plans you have for us. Thank you for always being with us and giving us the strength and courage to keep on trying even when we feel like giving up. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we'll be having a nail driving competition after worship. I can tell you, I would definitely lose. I bend every nail I touch. We'll go into our prayer requests and praises this morning. As always, who saw God this week? Hey now, that's what I'm talking about. More hands. God is present. You just got to open your eyes and your ears and your heart. He's present everywhere we go. Everything we do, everything we say, God is there. We may not see him readily and immediate, but we will see him through the small things. It's the little things that when you actually stop and think about it, and you stop and say, huh, see what you did there. God is there. Any praises this morning? Anything anybody's thankful for this morning, wants to share?
I'm thankful that we had such a good turnout at the Urn Garden yesterday. We got a lot of work done.
They had 13, I think is what somebody said. 10 or 12, quite a few people.
I didn't count them. I was just thankful they were there.
And I was told there were pictures taken, and as long as the picture didn't include the boss sitting down, which I think you were the boss, it was good. It's a state job. It's okay. You can sit down. We did have a good, they had a good turnout yesterday. It was, I came up for a ceremony here, and they were out shoveling and matticking to their heart's content. So it was good to see all.
David said he saw God, and he went into a yellow jacket's nest.
Ooh. Even the bees are God's creation. Any other praises? By all means, please share.
I have a 2-year-old granddaughter, and my daughter has been taking her to mommy baby classes where they dance and have fun. And my daughter told me this week she took her and she asked her if she had fun with mommy that day, and she told her, no, not really. She had more fun going to church
with
And so that made me smile because she's only been here twice. So when she was in class with these teachers and kids, it apparently really touched her, and she hasn't quit talking about Miss Bonnie. So.
And she's how old?
She's 2.
She's only 2. And she sees God. That's awesome. Any other praises? Well, as always, with our praises, we do have prayer requests and needs in our community, and I have quite a few that I would like to go over this morning. If you would remember Barb Anderson, that is Brandy Ward's mother, she'll be undergoing surgery tomorrow on her back. If you will remember Ginger Osborne, who's been battling some medical issues, she was been treated for some low iron issues, and she is at home resting. She said that she was wondering why she was so exhausted, and come to find out her iron and blood levels were low, so they got her hopefully back up and running. Also, the family of Jack and Charlie Kilby. That Jack Kilby is Betsy Hockett's father, right? I get that right? Okay. Betsy Hockett's father. He passed away this week. Richard Hatchell's good friend, and Richard was there when when he did pass away and go into cardiac arrest. And so we need to remember Richard over that event, but he was called 911, and unfortunately the Lord took Jack home. And also his brother Charlie passed away last evening. And so that is a double whammy for the family. I believe that was expected, but Jack was not. He had been working out in the garden or doing something out in the yard and then came in and had a heart attack. So remember the Kilby family, remember Richard and the Hocketts and all those that family touches. Ross Buchanan, if you would remember Ross Buchanan, that is Herschel Hockett's father-in-law, will be undergoing a heart cath this week, a pretty serious one. That's not the routine thing. They're expecting to find some things there, so if you would remember him. And last but not least, let me tell you, when you see God in a child, it really strikes you. And this morning, a young lady came in my office, and she said, I want to add a prayer request. And she was by herself. She said, I want you to remember Papa Gina. He died earlier in the month, and I lived with him about my whole life and knew him. And she said, I just want you to pray for him. And I think we need to remember Malia. You don't believe God is in our young people, then you are not looking. I would sacrifice the world for our little people. I would sacrifice tradition. I would sacrifice practice. I would sacrifice everything for our young people. And for someone that young to come in my office and say, I want to remember someone who died. That is God. There's no sermon I could ever preach. There's no TV evangelist you could ever see. There is nothing that could speak to you about Jesus like a child. Are there any others?
Had got pancreatitis cancer, and she was operated on Wednesday, I think it was. Had a successful operation and taken part of the pancreas and part of her intestine, and they're gonna start chemo treatment for her soon. I'd just like to remember her. Her name is Dina.
And tell me the relation again. Mark.
It's my son's wife's mother.
Okay. Remember Sandy Ward's brother, Tom Coles, he has a bypass procedure this week. He's been battling pretty hard. Sharon.
Juanita Woolard's wife has found a mass on her, near her heart, and she is going to have another test in about a week to find out exactly what it is. And I'm sure she's quite concerned. She is. She was the pastor's wife at both Concord and Liberty
at the time. Okay.
And Tommy, I have several family members traveling this week, so if you can just remember my mom and Christopher.
Absolutely, Dad.
Yeah. Remember the mom with her doctor's appointment that everything turns out to be good.
Your mom's having a test tomorrow on everything, just to rule out some things. So if you would please remember my mom, Betty. She could go to the test tomorrow. We expect everything to be clear, but surprise time.
Tommy, there's a group of Quakers in Bolivia that the kids have corresponded with, and the leader of that group, Friend Emma is what she calls herself, they are having fires in Bolivia that they can't seem to get under control, and there's a lot of damage, and she's very concerned. So she's just asked our North Carolina Quakers to please lift up Bolivia in their prayers and just pray for rain is what they're praying for.
Any others? We'll make this a prayer service.
go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you've heard it.
You've heard all the spoken needs. From medical issues, medical testing, the passing of a life, and then the passing of another life right behind it. Lord, the needs for rain and other parts of the world that are being ministered to, tests that need clear answers. But you saw the hands who saw you. You heard the child who, on her own, asked for prayer. You saw the children down front, something as simple as hammering a nail and cheering each other on. You are with us. Your spirit is here today, Lord. You know the unspoken requests that hearts are troubled with, that don't need to be said because they've been said to you. We come to you in full submission. We come to you in our prayer closets, on our knees, in tears, in our cars, in our church pews, in our workplaces, on our tractors. We come to you. You know what to do, Lord. We trust you. We have to. We have nowhere else to trust completely and wholly and unconditionally but you, because you gave your son Jesus for us to see and to listen to and to learn from on how to love. And you have filled this place with your love today. Lord, continue to bless us. Give us grace. Give us mercy and most of all, give us forgiveness. Break a heart that's hardened. Dry a tear that's falling. Heal a sickness that is taking the physical life of others. We just love you, and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
What is your answer today? My answer is, I love Jesus. That's my answer today. My answer today is, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is my answer today. My answer today is, I give it all to God. That is my answer today. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about some deep things. Talked about that three-letter word, sin. We talked about temptation. We talked about some uncomfortable things. We've covered Jesus in the wilderness. Talked about the three different trials that he went through with the devil. And why he went through those and what his responses were. We looked a little deeper into temptation and identified that the devil does not make us do it. He just whispers encouragement so that we will do it. We actually make that conscious decision. As a true believer in God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit, we never want to be a disappointing creation. If you are truly saved, you do not want to disappoint God. You just don't. Children do not want to disappoint their parents. We don't want to be that person who lets God down or what we may think let God down because of our choices. But what do we do after we've already committed the sin against God, or we've done the wrong thing, or we've hurt somebody? How do we reconcile that? I want to look at something a little bit different this morning. It may ease that uncomfortable feeling in our hearts, because when preachers talk about sin, the word conviction starts getting thrown out. And bleeding toes. And I had told a couple people told me, said, I'm about to wear steel-toed boots. You're hurting my feet. And I assure you, if yours are hurting, mine are broken. So we're going to move past the temptation. We're going to move past the sin, the creation of sin. We're going to look at the aftermath, but we're going to look at it in the department of a very important word called forgiveness. Very powerful word. Very hard word. And to lighten it up a little bit, we'll talk about just how hard forgiveness is. And I'll tell you about a man trying to cross the street. Now, as the man stepped off the curb, a car came screaming around the corner. I promise it wasn't me. And headed straight for him. The man started walking faster, trying to hurry across the street. And you've seen it. People try to get across playing chicken, trying to cross the road. But the car changed lanes and still came at him. So the guy turned around to go back, and the car changed lanes again. Still came at him. By now, the car was so close, and the man was so scared, he froze in his steps. Just stopped in the middle of the road. Car got really close, then swerved at the last possible moment, screeching to a halt. Right next to him. I mean, just screeched right next to him. The driver rolls down the window, and the man sees the driver as a squirrel. And the squirrel looks at him and says, "See, it's not as easy as it looks, is it?" The same can be said about forgiveness. We throw that word around an awful lot. We throw it around like it's so easy to do. If you've been church long, you've heard sermons galore about forgiveness. It's covered in many different scriptures and different stories and different forms. There's a scripture that talks about if a brother who sins against you. Jesus tells us in Luke that if someone hurts us 7 times a day and asks to repent 7 times in that day, we are to forgive them each and every time. Now that is hard to do. But usually we come around to do it depending on the severity of the transgression against you. But there's one thing we don't hear about in the way of forgiveness and for sins or for hurts, and it's not as easy as it looks, much like the squirrel said in the little story. But this type of forgiveness is one that many here probably struggle with. I know I do sometimes. And this forgiveness is something that we internalize. We hardly ever speak of because you don't want to deal with it. The hardest forgiveness to embrace is forgiving ourselves. That's a hard one. Forgiving ourselves. Maybe we're the one who's hurt somebody. Maybe we're the one who feels like they failed as a parent, as a teacher, as a spouse, as a friend, or as a Christian. We do things wrong. It's just going to happen. Maybe we want to hang on to the guilt because we're punishing ourselves and we're saying, I can't let it go. I did something to hurt my friend, or I did something to hurt my wife or my husband or my girlfriend or boyfriend or fiance or family member or mom or dad, and I just feel so bad about it. Sometimes we've done things to people that have since gone before us, and we can't ask for forgiveness. And so we hold on to that, thinking it's going to make it right. I'm making it right by beating myself up over something that I did or said or didn't do or didn't say to someone who has died before I could reconcile it. For whatever reason, we're holding on to it. We've sinned against others. It's hard for us to feel like we should be forgiven. Many here today, I probably could say, do you forgive me for such and such? And they would forgive me just like that. But if they say, do you forgive yourself? Then that's a different story. We talk about that one. Guilt overtakes us. It drags us down for a lifetime. And that's one of those weaknesses I talked about where the devil can use that to get a foothold on you, hold you down. You may know someone who's eat up with the guilt or the shame or the disappointment or whatever negative word you want to put to it, because they don't want to give themselves the luxury of having peace in their heart, forgiving themselves. Let me assure you today, we're going to find hope and peace and forgiveness of ourselves. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we're going to pull out a couple verses out of there. We'll look at verse 10 through 14. Starts in the middle of the psalm. And David wrote, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. So I've got a few points on how do we forgive ourselves. And you may read that passage and go, that doesn't really say anything about forgiveness. But it talks about God. And that's where we learn how to handle things, is through God's behavior and God's teaching. So in order to forgive yourself, there are three main ideas here. And the first is you need to adjust your view of God. One of the things I believe that keeps us from allowing ourselves to be forgiven in ourselves is that we may have some wrong views of who God is. If we're going to be able to forgive ourselves, we've got to adjust that view. Maybe we feel like God is out to get us. And that's a fair feeling if you do not believe in God. Or that he does not love us. And that is a fair feeling if you are not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think God is some mean kid with a magnifying glass, angling it on our anthill. Likes to exact punishment on us. We've all had negative images at difficult times in our lives of what God is and what God's done to us. And I speak frequently about being the good old Baptist boy, but I can remember a couple of churches when my grandmother was alive and then some others that we visited, where a hardcore hellfire and brimstone sermon would scare you right out of the pew. Everybody was going to burn in some of the preacher's mentalities. And if you've ever been to some of those hardcore ministers, you know what I'm talking about. So I was scared to death of God, terrified. Lord, God is going to get me. God is going to get me. I'm going to burn. Oh my gosh. But that is not actually case. God is a God of love. He is to be respected and feared in love, not feared in fear. People see feared and they think something different. They think scared, but it's a reverent fear. It's a respect. He's to be respected for his power and his glory and his love for us. And when we look at our passage, we can see a couple things about God and what God is not. God is not a cruel judge. The passage tells us that God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities, according to our sin. He has not rewarded us. Some may think God cannot wait to pay us back for the wrongs we have done. How many parents want to punish their children? Some parents say it hurts them more than it hurts the child. God is the same way. I'm thankful God does not give us what we deserve. If a person steals and gets caught, the judge will sentence them according to the law. If you do the crime, you do the time. God is not waiting to drop a guilty verdict on our head. If one stands before God guilty, it's because they refuse to accept what Jesus did to wash those sins away. A cruel judge would be glad to see us pay for our sins, and God has done everything he can do to make sure we do not have to pay for our sins. God is not a legal accountant. Sometimes we believe God is a God who never forgives and never forgets. An accountant keeps the books and knows the dollars in and the dollars out. You want your accountant to be meticulous in your decimal points. But when you belong to Jesus, he does not keep a record of your sins so that he can exact punishment on you later. When you were God's child, when you were saved, he does not keep a tally so he can punish you later. For the Christian, God does not all of a sudden come up with a past debt that you owe and then try to collect at the end. Your debt is paid in full if you belong to him. God is not a cruel taskmaster. Many have a view that God that all he does is give us rules that take our fun away. Well, I can't do this because it's against God. I can't do that. He's a fun sponge. He wants to beat us into submission. Many people resist God because they think that all he's out to do is just to make our lives miserable. Simply is not true. He gives us his word to live by, and in his word we find true freedom. It's not God's goal for you to be miserable. Jesus taught us that. He wants you to be free from the sins, free from that choice made in the beginning by Adam and Eve. He created us for worship and to have an intimate relationship with him in love. But we understand that God is a God of love. He loves us. Verse 11 tells us that God shows his loving kindness towards those who fear and respect him. Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor any other thing will separate us from the love God has for us. Nothing will separate us from that love. When a parent sets guidelines for children, it is because they love the child. They want to protect the child. It's not to make their life miserable. God is the same way. God is a God of forgiveness. We think of God, the word forgiveness should be one of the first words we think of. Hebrews 10 says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Don't you think that since God went through the trouble of sending Jesus, putting Jesus through all he went through, you would think he wants us to be forgiven and understand that. Remember what verse 12 tells us in our text. As far as east is from the west. God is a God of compassion. Verse 13 reminds us that God has compassion for his children, that he has compassion on those whom respect him. And the key to receiving compassion is belonging to God. God is a God of grace and holiness. The whole reason God can forgive our sins is because of his grace he offers to us. When we give our lives to Jesus, we will still sin. We try not to. But we can go to him and we can receive grace. And God's grace, if sought out, will allow us to stand before him sinless at the end of this physical world. The next big idea to allowing to forgive ourselves is to actually accept the forgiveness God gives you. Now this must frustrate God to no end to see that the children are clinging to this guilt for themselves and pushing away the forgiveness he's already given them. God has removed our sins. In verse 12, we're told that God has removed our offenses as far as east is from the west. Why should we carry something, carry a burden of sin that God has already taken away? Why do we do that to ourselves? So the step to forgiving ourselves is to accept the forgiveness of the one who created you. It's in God's power to forgive us. It's in our job and our abilities to accept it. The final step to forgiving ourselves is enjoy the freedom in Christ. Enjoy the freedom in Christ. He went through a lot of trouble to save us so that we wouldn't have to continue to do offerings. He went through a lot of trouble to send himself in the flesh and to allow man to crucify him. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. A condemned person cannot enjoy freedom. Paul tells us in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, this is the important part, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Death has been overcome. We've all done things that aren't good. But have you ever just stopped and let the feeling of forgiveness sink in? That freedom to say, God, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Just let it sink in. It feels good. But then we always want to beat ourselves back up again. Christ died to make us free. Galatians 5, why did Jesus die? It was for the freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. There it is. Jesus died for us, so quit putting the yoke back on yourself. He paid a great price. When you don't forgive yourself, you're subjecting yourself to that slavery again. In the last verse, God made us, knows us, and loves us. He makes it clear that he remembers how we were formed. We were formed in his image. We came from dust, and our bodies will go back to dust, but our spirits will be forgiven in God's glory. God made you, and God knows you, and God loves you. Forgiving ourselves requires us to examine how we view God. It requires us to accept the forgiveness he's already given, if you ask for it. And then he asks that you enjoy that freedom of that forgiveness. Enjoy being free in Christ. And that can lead to a forgiveness of yourself. If you're carrying the guilt of the past with you, today is a day to get rid of it. Feeling the guilt of things that God has already forgiven will not benefit you in any way. It's almost saying that Jesus' death on the cross wasn't good enough, so I'm just going to beat myself up. Learn from the past sins, but do not let them drag you down into the gutter. Do not allow Satan to gain a foothold over stuff you've already been forgiven for. With all the talk of temptations and trials and sin, it's time to let go of that guilt that plagues our hearts. Take the time in the quiet for just a few moments and change your view of God if you aren't accepting his love and grace. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I love you. I need you. Forgive me and let it wash over you. Let it be a life-changing moment. Use this time to accept the offer of forgiveness. Lord, I know you died for me and I know that I believe in you. Help me shake this from my body. Help me shake this ugliness that I continue to do to myself. It's in that freedom where we can love each other, but we can love ourselves. It's okay to say, I forgive myself so I can live for Christ. And the last thought, stop and see forgiveness in the mirror. God loves you.
Thank you, Tommy. Let's conclude our worship service by turning to hymn 547, The Church's One Foundation, verses 1 and 4.
Change today. Lord, if there's one here today that needed you, that they found you today, and that they continue through the week and through the days to come, celebrating their freedom in Christ. Lord, protect us and guide us as we go out into a world so ugly that it needs you, and that it needs us, and that we are called to arms with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Thank you.